Good morning. Time for our cool conversation. I'm George Plummer. Our guest today is Dale Thompson with the Grady County Emergency Management Office. Can't believe it's that time already, Dale.
But, time flies, doesn't
it? having him in a little bit early, just because we're kind of in the middle of the still in winter, but spring is not that far away. So
transition period.
Still some things to do. Hey, a big thanks to our sponsors, and they are Community Bank of Oklahoma and Stanley Systems. So we just had Groundhog Day last week, and who knows what the Groundhog wants to do. It was 85 on Monday and 35 on Tuesday, for crying out loud.
Broke a record
crazy.
One day,
yeah.
And almost broke a record cold the next day. So, yeah, this is Oklahoma for sure.
All right, so still let's talk about winter, and it's been a fairly mild winter. We had the one big snowstorm. Which was interesting,
Yeah, we did, and it's just like a big roller coaster. Like you said, it goes from the mid-80s down, drop 60 degrees the next day. So, we got some winter precip coming in this next week that we could possibly have some sleet, some snow, maybe some of that dreaded ice word, and some more cold weather. So, I think we're all looking for some warmer springtime to be coming soon, but that proposes its own threat. So,
there have been tornadoes in February, like last year, right?
Last year we had 20, I think it was 24 in the whole state, and we usually average 1.3. So it can happen, as we always say, any month of the year. So,
and last year was a record month for record year.
Yes,
for tornadoes in Oklahoma.
Yes,
so
it was.
We're hoping for not a repeat on that. That's for sure.
That would be great for us too. And we'll have to see what this El Nino and La Nina effect and everything. Right now we're in La Nina effect, so God only knows what that's going to do to the weather for this spring. So we'll just have to keep an eye on it and see what the National Weather Service is.
This is typically a pretty dry time, but we've had the snow. This week we've had a lot of moisture, not a lot of rainfall necessarily, but that's certainly keeping the fire danger down.
That's helping tremendously, especially the humidity being up, because that helps with the wildland fires. And, unfortunately, California has had some issues with wildfires, but so far we've had it pretty lucky here and everything. What few little bit of fires that we've had, we've got them out pretty quick.
So what do we need to do with just a few weeks left in winter? We should already have, of course, our winter storm preparedness kits filled up, and it might be time to start thinking about recycling those items for the summer, I guess, huh?
Yeah, spring's just, as the groundhog said, right around the corner, 6 more weeks. But, you've seen what the temperatures did last week, and so we're probably going to have that until we get more into March. And it starts leveling off a little bit. But, February is really a dry month. We only get like 1.3 inches of moisture. And like I say, the drizzle and the fog that we had last week and everything, has put the moisture out there. So that helps. But we got to start thinking, that's getting into spring. Our winds start picking up, start drying stuff out. So we definitely have to have the wildland fires aspect in the back of our minds.
We know a lot of ag producers like to have controlled burns. Last week on this show, we talked to Don West with the Caddo and Grady County Prescribed Burn Associations. So encourage folks to get more information about that. And if you're going to have a controlled burn, get some folks out there and get a hold of the OSU Extension Office, and they can get more information about how they can become involved in that.
Yeah. And another thing, we just want any resident in the county that wants to do a controlled burn, to please, monitor the weather conditions, make sure we don't have winds above 20 miles an hour, make sure the humidity is at least, 30%, and most of all, be sure and call the sheriff's office dispatch number and tell them that, hey, I've got a controlled burn that I'm going to be doing for the next few hours or the next day or something like that, and give them their physical address of where it's going to be and let them know they're going to be monitoring it. So, we don't have a lot of people driving by and saying, oh, there's a fire out here, need the fire department, which could be one of our farmers or ranchers, you know, getting their land prepared for planting and stuff. So just be sure and call the sheriff's office and let them know, and monitor the weather and the weather service for the conditions.
And also check the U.S. Drought Monitor. We're in pretty good shape for right now.
Right now, the latest one that come out has the southern half of the county just in abnormally dry. But, you know, we all see how that can change weekly. Mm-hmm. It'll be something different every week. So at one time, we were back in severe drought, but then we had them rains, especially in November and stuff like that. So that helped out a whole bunch. But, like, right now, we're just abnormally dry. But hopefully our normal rainfall in March will prevent that from getting any worse.
Thanks for being with us on our Cool Conversation program this week. Dale Thompson with us with the Grady County Emergency Management Agency. Boy, your office was shambles in December, I guess. You had some interesting problems going on there, but they got them all worked out. But it took a while to get all that taken care of.
Yeah, we had some plumbing issues. That building was built in the early 70s and everything, and we had some issues with the plumbing and the sewer line, and that caused us to have our whole lobby area and our passport office and everything completely tore up for almost right at 30 days. And it started the first week of December, and luckily our construction superintendent and everything was able to get all that fixed by I think we opened up the second week of January, or that's when we opened our passport facility back up. So, yeah, it's been an adventure, and nothing that I want to go back through again, because, you know, it's so hard for, you know, residents or something like that to get in, and then we have to put signs up and say, you know, call us, we'll let you in this other door and all that. But yeah, we got it all fixed up, and we're back to normal operations. So
let's talk about your staff a little bit. Of course, Amanda is your deputy
director.
Yeah. Director, yeah.
Yeah, and Laura Stevens, she's our emergency management specialist and passport specialist. She takes care of the passport part of the office and everything, and then that's kind of a chore on that, because that's Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays that we were an acceptance agency for the State Department for passports. So she takes care of that, takes a load off of us.
What do folks need to have when they want to come get their passports?
Well, first thing they really need to do is go to travel.state.gov. If they have questions about the passport and what to do and all that, that's a good place to start with. If they want to get a new passport or renew an old one, they need to get all their documentation together, and they need to call our office and select the passport option and talk to Laura about just exactly what they need and actually set up an appointment, because we don't take walk-ins. Like right now, we're booking appointments 2 weeks from now. So, and this is the time of year when people are getting stuff for getting ready for spring break, or running real close, because spring break's just right around the corner, actually. And then getting ready for summer vacations and trips and senior trips and stuff like that. So,
how does the Real ID factor into that? Are we getting pretty close to that Real ID deadline?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what exactly they keep moving the deadline and stuff. We recommend that people, whenever they need to get their driver's license renewed, to go ahead and follow the procedures to get the Real ID, and just go to the Department of Public Safety's website, and it'll have a link that you can get all the information for Real ID. But as far as getting a passport, the main thing for a new passport is you have to have your original or certified copy of your birth certificate for anybody that's applying, and current driver's license or state-issued ID card or something to that effect. So, and of course, minors, you know, they may not have that, so their parents have to have all their documentation. But that's the main thing that they have. And then some of the ladies that are married, that's never had a passport, you know, they may have to have a copy of their marriage license and stuff like that. But our office can answer any of the questions anybody may have on it.
Wanted to mention, we talked about the winter weather, but spring weather is going to be coming around here pretty quick. We mentioned about some of the tornadoes, but National Weather Service has some storm spotter training coming up for this next week, right?
Yes, they put this out once a year. They go all over the state and talk to the emergency managers at all the county levels and stuff and come up with a schedule where you can attend these storm spotting classes in person, or they've got several of them that you can actually go online and participate on an online training session. It's free. It's open to the public. Anybody can go to it. First responders like to go to it, especially if they're going to be a spotter out in the field for their agency or pass the information along to their local emergency manager. You can go to the National Weather Service's webpage and just type in Norman, and it'll have severe spotter class information that anybody can check out.
We don't have any. There's no local classes, I think. There's one in Watonga and one in Frederick, but you can go to register.gotowebinar.com. Mm-hmm. That's register.gotowebinar.com, and I guess that's just like an online course.
You can sign up for the online, and like I say, there's no cost or anything to it. We should be in the rotation to host the Storm Spotter class next year. And it's usually an evening time. We've been having it out at the tech center. It's usually from 7 to 9, so I think we're in line to host it. It's been about 3 years since we've had one here, so I think we're next in line to host it next year. So just keep advised.
Want to talk about recent news that you and Chickasha Emergency Management finished up a great project to get trauma kits into, if not all, just about every classroom in Grady County. So that took quite an effort, but it's pretty much done.
Yeah, we're actually done with it, and every classroom and every public school in the county has a trauma kit in it. We got with all the superintendents so we could get a class count of how many classrooms they have. And other areas like an office, a coach's office, cafeteria, other thing. We're going to venture out maybe into putting one into school buses in the future. But we finally got all that completed and purchased. It took several months to get all the materials together through the funding come from ARPA money that was left over that the commissioners let us have some, and donations from around the county and different companies and stuff like that, but we got everything purchased, and back in December we got together some of our healthcare partners from the Grady County Health Department and the Medical Reserve Corps. One of our county barns sent a couple employees and us, and we just spent one day doing nothing but putting these kits together and bagging them up and labeling them and all that. So we just delivered last week. We just delivered the last of them around the county. So every classroom's going to have one of these trauma kits in, and we hope they never have to be used. But we just felt like that it was under the circumstances the way the things are nowadays with emergencies in schools, whether it's active shooter, whether it's tornadic or something like that, that there will be a teacher in there that is trained on how to use this equipment that's in these small bags and everything. So,
What about replenishing them once they're used or if they're outdated or anything like that?
Well, we still have some funding available just for that in a special account. So if one of them gets used for some reason, all the school has to do is give us a call, because each kit has a list in there of contents of everything that's in there, as well as an instructional sheet on how to apply a tourniquet in English and Spanish. And so if they ever use any supplies out of that, and it doesn't have to be something major. It could be, somebody could have slipped and hurt themselves or something like that, and it needs some treatment right then, they can use that. So if there's anything that gets used in there, all they got to do is superintendent give us an email or something and say, hey, we use these supplies out of the kit, and then we'll round them up and get it to them.
Dale, appreciate your time this morning. We encourage folks to use your Facebook page. You have updates on there, whether it's raining, snowing, ice, tornado threat, wildfire threat, anything like that.
Yeah.
So just be in tune to that, and we will certainly be in touch when tornado season comes around. So
yes, we will.
Dale, we appreciate you very much.
You bet.
Dale Thompson, Grady County Emergency Management Director, with us on our Core Conversation program today. And a big thanks to our sponsors, Stanley Systems and Community Bank of Oklahoma.